Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like we haven't come back with this song before on the show.
What is this?
You know the voice.
Is this Freddie Mercury?
Wow.
Elton John.
Oh, damn. I screwed that one up. Yeah. My bad. Yeah, that was bad. That was
okay.
Bad. Shame.
It's all right. We were talking Blue Chews last segment. I get it. It's the mind.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah. All right. So, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. All right. Before we get back to the phone lines here and we talk all things about this passing game, and is it a big deal? I think it is. Hugh does. And a lot of people today, I like to say head in the sand. You could say you're not worrying about it. What's the Carno thing? You already paid the Carno.
I know that
repo.
Just wait for the next one.
Repo
yeah.
Guy. You know, he's worried about him coming down the street. All right. Before we get back to that, though. We have to decide, Hugh, if we are screwed or we are saved on Sunday. Now, last week, when Brett Allen last week? Brett Allen and his crew with the referee assignment. I felt like we were saved. It was a good draw for the Eagles based on Brett Allen's history, on home teams and all that. This week, Hugh Douglas, we are screwed.
That's crazy.
No, we're in big trouble here with the referee stuff. All right, so Sean Smith is the referee this Sunday for the Eagles or Rams game. So, Hugh, last week when I dove into Brett Allen, I recognized that he was very favorable to home teams, like above the average. The home teams did better with him above average compared to other referees. Obviously, we were home. So I felt good going into the game. This guy, Sean Smith here, he's very favorable to road teams. In fact, in every year of his career, he's been a referee for 10 years now. Relative to how often home teams normally win, they win less with Sean Smith. Now, Hugh, part of that could be like maybe he's got some bad home teams, right? Like he can't affect the game that much.
Yeah.
But over 10 years, that feels like something.
So, I tell you, man.
Love this.
My mind is blown.
We got ref stats?
Refs have become the story in playoff games.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. But, I mean, I guess that's just, you know, with so much money on the line and, you know.
Data's out there.
Yeah,
especially for betting, the betting market.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's one of those things where you just look at it and you're like, wow, that's crazy.
Okay, I got two more little nuggets on Sean Smith. And memories that we don't love here in Philadelphia. So, Hugh, Sean Smith's crew was the crew that ejected Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from the game in Washington about a month ago. So that, we have a little history there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he was the referee for the playoff game in which Carson Wentz got knocked out by Jadeveon Clowney. So, you know, the Eagles can affect the game way more than the refs.
We got a bad track record with this cat.
We don't have a great track record with Sean Smith. Brett Allen was a much more favorable ref for the Eagles, so just keep that in mind. If a call goes the wrong way on Sunday, it's Sean Smith's fault. I mean, and that's the bottom line on that. So I don't love it. I wish it was better.
Well, so then we're fine. I mean, we spent this whole day worrying about Jalen, but really, if we lose, we just blame the refs.
Yeah. Just have that in your pocket on Monday morning in case. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Violet is up on WIP. Hey, Violet.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Violet, we're doing great. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I am very excited for this weekend, and I just love listening to you guys because I really do learn so much, so thank you for that. And how are you, Hugh?
I am awesome. How are you doing?
Good. I'm off today, so I'm just getting some things done listening to you guys. And the more that I listened, because when I first called, I was like all gung-ho on, not that I don't like Jalen, I do. And at some point, he is going to have to be great. I know that he's efficient now and he's managing the game. I get it. But one of the stats that I wrote down, and this was from the Super Bowl, and I understand that that's a whole different ball game, but 27 of 38 for 304 yards and a touchdown. Where did that Jalen go? And I know that we don't have to do that right now, but at some point, I'm going to have to see that Jalen.
Violet, it's a great question. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because if you go back to that year, and I think a lot of people have determined this defense is better than that one, but that one was good too. We had the year they went, you know, 2 years ago in the Super Bowl.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, and in the two in the two playoff games leading up, we only allowed a touchdown in each game, but then we got to the Super Bowl and played Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and
exactly.
it turned into a shootout.
I know that, and then part of that, too, we got some really bad calls in that game, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
and then somewhere along the line, the defense, I don't know if it was just because, you know, Kansas City's offense was just clicking and they wore them. I don't know what happened. But this defense, I know, is phenomenal. And I know running the ball, to me, defenses win championships. They really do. I mean, I always go back to the Joe Flacco and Baltimore Ravens.
Sure.
When he won his. Because I looked up those stats, too. 22 of 33, 287 yards, three touchdowns. They had an awesome defense. And Flacco, I mean... I don't know. I know it's in Jalen, so I don't know what is going on. And maybe it is the coaching staff that is telling him not to throw. I know it's in him. I know it is.
Well, and it honestly, is. And the players change, Violet. Like, you have career years. You have not as good years. I mean, I think it's in him, too. It's not like he's old or, you know, not a good player anymore. But he hasn't played that way for most of the season. That's the truth. Just hasn't. I mean, he's had moments like the Steeler game and the Bengal game, but he hasn't played that way. Violet, we appreciate the phone call. Good luck tomorrow. I know Violet's trying to win those tickets on the morning show to get to the game on Sunday in the snow against the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, that's what it really comes down to, is if they need it, will they be able to throw the ball at a high level? Because it's been sporadic that they've done that the whole season.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that I'm more of the mindset of, I think Jalen's going to do what he has to do to win the game. And, you know, if it comes to a game in Detroit, if we get to that game that we have to throw the ball, I think he'll answer the bell. But we got to get there first. And I don't think that it's a necessity this weekend to be a guy that has to show, just because people are a little nervous, to show that he can throw the ball all around the schoolyard.
Is it a luxury?
What's that?
Passing?
Nah.
No, this is most certainly a necessity.
Nah. Yeah, we not about to do that.
That, I mean, if they say they win Sunday and they throw the ball like 10 times because they just run all over the Rams, you know that's coming next week. This is not even a luxury, the passing game.
It's just
not whatever. I don't mean from you.
That
I mean
show
from
no, but I'm saying it's
that
just
that
the formula. Whatever the formula
Tuesday.
Is to help us win. That's the formula that I'm willing to implement.
Yeah, you're not worried about that repo, man, but that, you know.
It's keeping the main thing the main thing.
That's exactly what we all have to do around here. Keep the main thing the main thing. Black Gritty's up. What's up, Black Gritty?
So give me some time today, Joe. Don't hang up on me.
Okay, go ahead. I'm letting you cook.
That caller made a list, and now I'm making a list. So first of all, I hate Kyle. Kyle is like the squirrel on the fence that just be messing with your dog. And you're like, why is my dog going crazy out there in the yard?
You know
and
what?
You
shut up.
There, and it's this punk squirrel up there rattling around my dog. That's how you always try to poke the needle on somebody. Get on my Mammy Jamie nurse. Secondly, Hugh, I was in the car when you made that tweet. I know exactly the caller that made you tweet that out, and I was right there with you. I was like, wowzers, that was some crazy caller.
Yeah, they're different. I stand on that.
Secondly, don't be messing me on IG. Hugh sent me something that for 13 seconds I thought it was me. He's just like, is this you? I looked at the video twice. I'm like, wait, that might be me.
Wait, you got a lookalike? Is a black lady lookalike?
Somebody was out there. He was out there.
Oh, man.
It.
And it was a cowboy, too. I felt some sort of way. I was like, you trying to get me riled up in the afternoon. Secondly, for all the people out there worried about getting your car repoed, in all 50 states, if you sleep in your car, they cannot tow your car. If you're physically in your vehicle, in all 50 states, they can't tow it. I'm not saying I pretended to be homeless for a little while I caught up on my bills, but I'm just telling you, if you in that Mammy Jammy, they can't tow you nowhere. And if they try to, you take a picture, you sue them, you sue the bank, you sue the car loan people, free car, you're welcome. Now, Don Giglio.
I'm writing that advice down. That's good advice right there. Yeah.
Joe Dilio, you bizarro punk. I ain't been mad at you in months, and Dort, it feels good to be mad at you today. I missed it, Joe. I missed your buffoonery and your charcuterie board and your weird talking out here. So we can all agree we want 2022 Jalen back. I just heard that last caller. She was wonderful. She's right. We all want 2022 Jalen right back, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So in his first playoff game, he threw for 154 yards and a win. His second playoff game, he threw for 121 yards and a win. No touchdowns in that 121-yard game. No passing touchdowns, by the way. But then he goes to the Super Bowl and plays against, Patrick Mahomes, the second grade Tom Brady, da-da. He throws for 300 yards, as he talked about. He had one TD. He played one of the best games of his life outside of that fumble, and he lost to a guy that threw for 185 yards. So for everybody out there complaining, which would you rather have, the Super Bowl and 185 yards or the greatest statistical game of his life? Jalen Hurts matches the moment. When it's the fourth quarter and he runs a seven-minute drive, it's because that's what's necessary to win. So right now, when you're all crying and complaining, can he do it? Won't he do it? Sometimes you have to go with the game plan, and he goes with the game plan that is most likely to end in a win. And he does that at a 70% clip. And Joe Dilio, stop crying. Stop being a punk. Get yourself together and be a grown man and not a pound puppy. And let's go get these George W's, because I tell you, Hugh, he's better than you get on that bus.
Yeah, this bus is going to be a lot.
All right, Black Gritty. You brought a lot of good stuff there, including you had sent me that Instagram thing about the make-believe Black Gritty. Cowboys Slam Black Gritty.
Yeah, I got to
check that one out.
It's a Cowboys Black Gritty?
That's what he seems
to. Well, no, dude was dancing.
Okay.
Dog, is this you?
Can I present – let me present this a different way, because obviously this is – we're just – it's not getting through, okay? Let me try it a different way. Because the trump card for everyone is, in the Super Bowl, he played his butt off against Mahomes. He met the moment. Right? And I'm not, of course he did. We did a whole show that next summer rewatching the game, and I came away more impressed with Jalen Hurts. Sometimes, and let me bring you back to this game this past Sunday. Do I think if the game is on the line, like they're down six in the fourth quarter, Jalen could lead a drive? Yeah, I don't think, I think he can, right? I think that he definitely is capable and might. But you know, that's not my worry. You know what my worry is? My worry is this. The second and third quarter, they don't move the football, and then they're down in the fourth quarter when they don't have to be.
You want smooth sailing.
Yeah, well,
you don't want adversity.
Yes, it's not like, do you trust will Jalen Hurts throw, you know, make a drive if he needs it? That's not the question. The question is, will they go silent for a large portion of the game and it allows someone
That's fair.
To stay in the game, or next week to jump on them?
Like, that's fair.
That's what I'm trying to avoid.
Yeah, that's fair, because during that game, I'm not gonna lie, during that game against the Green Bay Packers, you were wondering if the Green Bay Packers could mount an offense that could put together a drive that could put them back in the game, and that's what they were trying to do. And
they couldn't
do it.
If they had any pulse, though, it would have been tight.
That's fair. And you look at a team, say, like, if we get there, Detroit, or even the team we're playing this weekend, the Rams.
Right, Stafford's.
They have the capability to do that. But I don't feel – I honestly don't feel like that'll be a factor in this game because of how they're going to have to get back in the game. I don't see that being the case. But I get it, and that's something that has most Eagle fans worried. But I feel like Jalen's – he's going to match the moment.
Mm.
I feel like that. And I feel like – knowing what I know about the playoff series, the running game translates well. Good defense and a running game. And we got both.
Ooh, and we got some snow on Sunday as well. All right, Kevin in Somerton caught my attention. Joe is a dumbass. Kevin, what's up, buddy?
Joe, what's going on, buddy?
Kevin, what's up, man?
Listen, it's like I don't even have to listen to this show. I just got to just turn it on, and I just assume Joe's scared about something.
Well, last week you missed a great show when I tried to tell everyone this was going to be a blowout of the Packers and Hugh was being plant-based. I mean, I was not scared at all last week.
Yeah, you also told me Jalen's going to have to throw and do this and that, and I called you in and you made a, kind of a fool of yourself because obviously I look correct this week. So I just want to understand, this week we're scared about what exactly? The Rams and Matthew Stafford coming to punish us on our home field?
I do think the game will be competitive, but I'm not super scared. I'm just, I think it'll be a competitive game. But my point is that the passing game is a big deal. We can't pretend it's not. That's all.
My point is the passing game is not a big deal until it's a big deal, right? And so I understand like your apprehension with eventually we're going to face a game where we need to pass. Unless we don't, Joe. Unless we don't, you know? And if we do, I'm confident that Jalen can do that.
Why? But why? Why?
Because I don't think we've been calling the same plays for him that we have been for other people. And I know, like, DeCameron and everyone else thinks that's because of his, you know, intelligence with the game and this and that. But I don't think that's the case. I really think we are trying to preserve certain things to make sure that we get to the Super Bowl. And I think if it's not broke, then maybe you don't fix it.
So, hold on. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You think they're holding back passing concepts for the bigger games?
No, I just don't think it's necessary until it's necessary. You know what I mean? Like, if
so,
not,
all right. Yeah, I don't think the results are necessary.
And we might face that this week. I agree. We might face that this week. Although, whatever. We will face it. But, right, if we get through this round, we will face that, Joe. I agree with you on that.
I mean, that's my whole thing. Like, again, we'll see what happens this week. I think the Rams will be competitive. The Eagles should win
Very
this game, Kevin. Yeah. But next week and the week, like in the next two games after this one, and if you want to include Stafford and McVay, you can, but you don't have to. It's going to be likely Goff and the Lions in a dome, and they've averaged 34 points a game this year. And then the Super Bowl against one of three quarterbacks that are all outrageously good players. So the challenges are going to be there, and I just think this whole thing would be easier if we threw the ball better.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be easier. I think actually what's helping us this year, to be honest, and maybe the stats prove me wrong, but I think we are kind of strong in the league right now with our run game when the league's in a bit of a transition towards that game. So that's what I feel confident in. We got smaller D-backs. We have smaller secondary trying to take down our big backs. You know what I mean? I think Jalen, if he tries to do too much, I think that would hurt us more than just sticking with the game plan and sticking with what works.
Well, and that's been the formula, Kevin. And they're going to keep doing it, Kevin. We appreciate it until it bites him.
If you're being honest, and it also is conducive to the skill set of the quarterbacks that are playing. Like, Jared Goff is a cast-off. I mean, Jared Goff's playing well now, and I'm not trying to, poo-poo on him or anything like that, but Jared Goff got let go for Matt Stafford because he wasn't a passing guy. And that was what the league needed at that time. Jared Goff has benefited tremendously from the fact that they run the ball extremely well, and he doesn't put the ball in harm's way as much. So it's one of those things where, to the caller's point, the league has transitioned to more of a running game. And you're playing against a team this weekend who wants to throw the football. They want to throw the football in inclement weather. So if that's what they want to try to do, let them.
I saw a stat yesterday. I was trying to find it now. I think this is the first time, or I think if the Ravens and Eagles win on this weekend, it will be the first time since 1998 the top two rushers
advance to the playoffs.
Both make it to at least championship weekend. I mean, those two have been the one of the stories of the season, right? The microcosm of the season, the game changing and the run game. Yeah, I mean, they've been amazing, both of them. Let's talk to we got Brian, who's up next. What's up, Brian?
Yo.
Hey, Brian, what's up, buddy?
I'm worried about this weekend, as all weekends when the birds are playing. I think their luck's going to run out. Jalen's got me worried. Last game, he looked terrified at times. And I get it. He got busted up pretty good. Coming back from a concussion, I'd be a little scared, too.
So he only ran, I don't know if you're scared, but he only ran six times. I think that was, Hugh, to me, that was, let's try to limit this. Let's try to take care of ourselves. First game off the concussion.
Yeah, first game off the concussion.
I would think he runs more this weekend if it requires it, Brian. But yeah, I mean, look, I think the pass game's got to be better, and I don't see any way around that as we move forward. They need it.
I haven't seen a good pass out of him in a while.
How long is your wow, Brian? How long does your wow last?
The last good one I saw was in 2022.
In 2022, so what about that one he threw in Louisiana? What about that one he threw in Louisiana? Dallas Goedert? What about that one? That wasn't a good one?
It looked awkward. It looked awkward. I don't know. Okay. Like, I look at Jalen,
I saw some in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's a better one. When are we going to get a great quarterback in Philly? When? Are we ever going to get great?
What do you mean by great?
What is your definition of great?
Great?
one that's a leader, one that's going to, you know, make important decisions on the fly.
You mean like Jalen Hurts?
They run the same stuff.
You mean like Jalen Hurts is a leader and he makes decisions on the fly? I mean, what is your criteria for a quarterback? I'm just curious.
Tom Brady.
Wait a minute. What'd you say? Tom Brady who?
Yeah.
I'd like a Tom Brady too, Brian. They don't grow. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, they don't grow on trees.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
But every year, Jalen's rankings just keep going down. Yeah, they got a great record. That's because of our defense. They're holding it down. But every week, it's either a nail biter or maybe we had a couple good games this year where we didn't have to worry the whole game. But it just seems like he's awkward. I don't know why he rolls out to his right. He puts himself in harm's way a lot. I don't know.
He does at times. I mean, Brian, we appreciate him. I mean, Hugh, the one thing that was kind of interesting in this past Sunday, he did something he almost rarely does, and it led to a touchdown. Remember the play where he was in the pocket for 7 seconds?
Yeah.
He almost never stays in the whole time.
No, this time he did. Yeah, he did. And to your point, you know, guys aren't going to be that open all the time, but they had some great blocking up front that allowed him to do that. And that's what he did. I think another thing he did, when he did hold the ball for a while, he got down. It was one play where he got down, and he got down so quickly, he ran lane over a little bit.
Oh, yeah, like they collided.
Yeah. That was a lot.
Well, he wants a Brady.
He's entitled to his opinion. I mean, no question about that. But I feel like Jalen is a good leader. I feel like Jalen has some intangibles that separates him from other guys. Listen, there is no, especially nowadays, I know what we'd like to think are prototypical quarterbacks. That's not the mold that a lot of guys are in now. It's a hard position to find. I think that the NFL is in transition. And you, to your point, you're talking about two quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson and Jalen who are benefiting tremendously from a solid running game. I think with the evolution of the passing game and the fact that we went so far to the left, now it's starting to come back and center itself a little bit with the running back game. And I don't think that it's smart to go away from that when it's been working so well. Regardless of how somebody feels a quarterback should be or anything like that, we're winning football games. Now, again, I will say this because somebody's going to miss it. I'm not saying Jalen was good enough to win a Super Bowl this last weekend, but he was good enough to win that game last weekend. And this is a fluid situation, and it's going to evolve as we keep going through this, as we make it to every round. It's like, have you ever seen The Game of Death?
No.
Bruce Lee? Yeah, great movie. You need to watch that.
Okay.
But it was like Bruce Lee, one of the last movies ever made, he went in this big old, like it was a tower, and at every level, he fought a different skill set. And he had to match that skill set in order to advance. That's basically what the playoffs are.
So Jalen's Bruce Lee.
Two men enter, one man leave. That's it. Because one of the fight scenes, he had to fight Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I can't believe you've never seen
that. He fought Kareem?
Yeah.
The height differences were enormous.
Yes.
He beat Kareem?
Yes.
Chop his legs out?
Stop. Joe, I'm sitting here, and I feel old
as
I don't
Bruce
know
Lee.
What.
He's Bruce Lee. You can take Kareem. Come on.
But it was a—
Well, some would say he's Jalen Hurts.
You got to watch it, man. You got to watch it.
215-592-9494.
All he does is win.
That's inarguable. That's even though we argue about it every day. All right, your phone calls on all this. Plus, want to pass along a really cool story on Nick Sirianni, written by Tim McManus. That's coming up. Your phone calls on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk bacon, specifically Hatfield bacon. Y'all know how I feel about bacon. I love bacon. So much so that I had a huge flub yesterday trying to incorporate Joe into my bacon talk.
They got thick wood
hard
day.
Hard. They got bacon is delicious. And there are so many different flavors and cuts I can choose from. Like hardwood smoked bacon, applewood smoked bacon, and thick cut hardwood smoked bacon. And then there's that extra thick cut bacon. Maple brown sugar. I did it. So do yourself a favor and go get you some Hatfield bacon today. Head to simplyhatfield.com and put some pork on your fork.
football, baby. Yeah. You guys dream about this.
Yeah.
Damn, we some dream crushers around here.
Yeah.
You hear me? We come back out. I'm going to challenge you to one thing. The scoreboard for 60 minutes. Become a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. The Packers on three. One, two, three.
The Packers.
Landon Dickerson has me ready to run through a wall, Hugh. That's the second time this year we've heard Landon in one of those pregame scrums.
The third, I think.
Was that?
It was the Dallas one.
Dallas one.
It was another one after that, though, before this one.
He's getting pretty good at these.
He's getting really good at it.
Potty mouth.
Best one since Doc?
Potty mouth.
The Doc didn't have a potty mouth.
No. But he was the guy that got you all revved up.
Doc's, like, anytime you use cuss words when you're yelling and screaming, they resonate. They're easy go-tos.
Yeah.
It's a different animal when you get people hyped up and you don't use another cuss word. It's different. And Doc brought that to the table.
He was a big doggone it guy, right?
Yeah, doggone it. He's like, doggone it. It hit different, man. Now, you know, when you say cuss words and you talk about, you say mofo and I'm a hit up mofo or whatever, that gets you juiced automatically. But when you got somebody back there that's trying his, you know, it's not in him to cuss, and he's doing a breakdown speech, and you hear God dog it, and all this other stuff that he used besides cuss words, that's pretty impressive. Really, really is.
I mean, that's why he's the gold standard. Landon is moving up the rankings, though.
If you were to give a hype speech, you would probably incorporate a few cuss words.
I use a whole bunch of cuss words. I'm talking, yeah. I'm saying stuff that is... I mean, y'all been around me. Y'all know me. I'm talking about, you know.
Wonder stuff. If we need
surprise
a
surprise. You can keep it together on the air sometimes.
Most times.
No,
most
sometimes. Times. I do the laugh, it's because I was like, oh, I almost had a moment. Let me pull that.
Well,
back.
The truth behind this drop.
Those
that's not
those,
really you stumbling it. Over your words.
No,
if you,
you're
as you often
not
have.
To
you
say
are self editing.
Yeah,
I'm self editing. I'm speaking stream of consciousness, man. A lot of times. I have to realize where I'm at, and I have, oh, no, you can't say that.
Yeah. It doesn't always work, though.
Why has Hassan Reddick been on four other freaking football teams?
We're on the air live for 4 hours a day. We're all going to have a slip up at some point. I mean, it happens. I mean, everyone.
Some more than others.
Once in a while.
Some more than others.
Is the best one, though, the seltzer?
Oh, it's I don't know if anything in my life at this radio station will top the seltzer one. Because of his immediate realization what he did and how you feel his emotion.
And the build up beforehand.
Oh, it's
you could just feel it coming.
It's
best tweet of the night.
Right? Say it, James.
Elliot said Josh Harris should buy up all the freaking tickets and give them to Sixers fans. Like, you're damn right he should. The freaking, what, $7 billion this guy's worth? Yeah, dude. Like, own your... Oh, my goodness. Own your franchise, okay?
Yeah.
The oh, my goodness. The immediate... remorse.
Yeah,
because
he was thinking about the consequences.
I also think from James's job, one of his jobs in the show is to keep them in line. I think when you're supposed to be the adult in the room and you act like the child,
and you're not adulting.
You're not adulting, right? Yeah. Like you feel worse. I think we've all been there. All right. Speaking of adults who sometimes don't always act like, a little credit when it's owed here. Hugh, there was an interesting story yesterday, a good one, over at ESPN. Tim McManus about Nick Sirianni. And the headline that caught my attention was Sirianni's confounding public behavior is relished by his players. And the theme of it was really about how much of a player's coach he is, Hugh, and how he has their back.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of stuff with Mailata, whose dad was going through some health issues. And he called him up and said, like, come to the office after practice one day. And Mailata was thinking that he did something wrong or, you know, kind of like... When our boss says, Hugh, come talk to me, you always think the worst. And most of the time, you didn't do anything wrong. He just, whatever, he wants to talk. And that was this. And it really resonated with Mailata. There's a couple other stories of players, including Rick Lovato, who him and his wife were trying to have a child. And it really painted the picture, Hugh, that this guy has a connection with his players that we don't get to see.
Yeah.
So they have his back. Like, he has theirs behind the scenes that we don't see. And I think it's why they seem to kind of let Nick be Nick, and they'll support him and his personnel.
It's a new era of coaches, man. As much as I love Big Red and he's my coach and everything, there's a side that we never saw of Big Red. I was watching The Pivot, and they had Aaron Glenn on there,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about how he interacts with his players. He was telling a story about how he has players to his house to eat. This is why it's in there cooking for him. That's more college than anything. You know, that's some old Nick Saban, Urban Meyer type stuff. And coaches, guys are responding to that. You know, and you talk about the stories with Nick, man, and I know for a lot of us, when he tells the Joe College stories or the Joey High School stories and stuff like that, you know, people laugh and giggle about that. But the purpose of a coach's job is to try to figure out how to connect with his players and get the best out of them. Well, Coach Sirianni's done that.
It is changed. I mean, it is changed. I mean, look, if we get Eagles-Lions next week, you know what one of the stories is going to be heading into the game. The change.
Who's the craziest?
Yeah, like the change in coach. Like they're both, you know, off the walls, all energy, foot to the gas, you know, not play callers, motivators. It's just, it's different than maybe it used to be, or the trend that looked like 5 years ago, right? When it was Shanahan against McVay in the title game. It felt like that's the new way.
Coaches are becoming younger. They're getting younger in the NFL. And people are taking chances, for the most part, on coaches who, you know, haven't had that much, you know, don't have that big resume.
Well, obviously there's always tipping points for this, but one of the first ones that was really young was McVay. I was looking up his resume when this week started. You know what's crazy? He's only 38. He's been coaching for 8 or 9 years now. He has 80 wins and 2 Super Bowl appearances. He's 38.
Yeah.
Like, he has 30 more years of coaching if he wants to. I don't know if he's going to do it for that long.
Yeah, because you remember a few years ago they were talking about whether he was going to be an analyst and do the TV thing and all this other stuff. Yeah. It's just because the message, you have to be able to connect with your players, man. And the thing that I grew up in an era where it started to transition from the Bobby Knights of the world.
Oh, he was different.
To, you know, the more standoff coaches. Because Big Red, as good as a coach he was, he's a little bit more standoffish. But it's funny because seeing Big Red about a year ago when I saw him, he's different with the players now.
He's evolved.
Yes, than he was when he was coaching us.
Well, I think if you're going to coach a long time, you have to evolve.
You have to. And Bill Belichick, I would read stories about Bill Belichick and how he hired his sons to help them bridge the age gap between the players and the coach. And I think that's important, man. I think it is because at the end of the day, it's a lot easier to go out there and do some of the things that you're asked to do if you feel like somebody understands what you're going through or understands your plight. I don't care what it is. It just makes it easier because it's like when you tell them how you're feeling or what you're going through, you know on some level they understand. And that's what Coach Sirianni has done. That's why he has gone above and beyond in press conferences. I know it's a little thing and people probably don't hear it, but listen to how he talks about his player. Listen to how he defended A.J. Brown and the sitting on the bench with the book, how he defended him. Listen to how he defends Jalen and the sacrifice that he might have asked Jalen to give in order for this team to be successful, and how he probably has to talk to Jalen on a daily basis. Say, hey, man, block the noise out. You're doing your job. Keeping the main thing. That's hard to do.
Well, I think actually it's one of the best things Jalen does bring to the table as the Eagles quarterback. I really think he ignores all of this. And I think if you're going to be successful here, you need to because, I mean, that's...
It gets real.
And everything gets picked apart. Like, Jalen Hurts has been part of a team that's lost one game since September. And a lot of people, I don't know, half,
don't
whatever.
Don't like Jalen.
Or at least you're concerned
about
his play.
And let me be clear, because I don't want anybody to think every time I say don't like Jalen that people really don't like him. No, but his play is always being critiqued.
Always. And that's always going to be...
That's the nature of the beast.
Every Eagles quarterback. How you handle it is like half the job.
Because we make fun of Nick Sirianni for the core values stuff all the time. Connectivity is one of them.
They're connected.
He doesn't just talk the talk. He does walk the walk.
I've always thought they like him. I mean, my questions were never that. It was about his coaching.
Sure.
But
yeah.
Like, I've always thought inside that building,
well, what's
those
the
players like him.
What's the thing A.J. Brown said last year? Sirianni made himself look like a fool for us?
The article went into that. I think Mailata said, you don't have to do that. And he said, no, that's my job. I mean, I think it is. I mean, because...
Playoff football, baby!
Yeah.
You guys dream about this!
Yeah!
Damn, we some dream crushers around here!
Come on!
You hear me? We come back out! I'm going to challenge you to one thing! The scoreboard for 60 minutes. Become a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go the Packers on three. 1, 2, 3.
The Packers.
Landon Dickerson has me ready to run through a wall, Hugh. That's the second time this year we've heard Landon in one of those pregame scrums.
Hugh, the third, I think.
Was that?
Yeah, it was the Dallas one.
Dallas one.
It was another one after that, though, before this one.
He's getting pretty good at these.
He's getting really good at it.
Potty mouth.
Best one since Doc?
Potty mouth.
The Doc didn't have a potty mouth.
No. But he was the guy that got you all revved up.
Doc's, anytime you use cuss words when you're yelling and screaming, they resonate. They're easy go-tos.
Yeah.
It's a different animal when you get people hyped up and you don't use another cuss word. It's different. And Doc brought that to the table.
He was a big doggone it guy, right?
Yeah, doggone it. He's like, doggone it. It hit different, man. Now, you know, when you say cuss words and you talk about, you say mofo and I'm a hit a mofo or whatever, that gets you juiced automatically. But when you got somebody back there that's trying his, you know, it's not in him to cuss, and he's doing a breakdown speech, and you hear God dog it, and all this other stuff that he used besides cuss words, that's pretty impressive. Really, really is.
I mean, that's why he's the gold standard. Landon is moving up the rankings, though.
If you were to give a hype speech, you would probably incorporate a few cuss words.
I use a whole bunch of cuss words. I'm talking, I'm saying stuff that is... I mean, y'all been around me. Y'all know me. I'm talking about, you know.
Wonder if we need
surprise, a surprise. You can keep it together on the air sometimes.
Most times.
No,
most
sometimes. Times. I do the laugh, it's because I was like, oh, I almost had a moment. Let me pull that.
Well,
back.
The truth behind this drop.
That's not really
you stumbling over your words, you are self editing.
Yeah,
I'm self editing. I'm speaking stream of consciousness, man. A lot of times. I have to realize where I'm at, and I have, oh, no, you can't say that.
Yeah. It doesn't always work, though.
Nah, why has the Cy Reddick been on four other freaking football teams?
Look, we're on the air live for 4 hours a day. We're all going to have a slip up at some point. I mean, it happens. I mean, everyone.
Some more than others.
Once in a while.
Some more than others.
Is the best one, though, the seltzer?
Oh, it's fun. I don't know if anything in my life at this radio station will top the seltzer one because of his. immediate realization what he did and how you feel his emotion.
And the build up beforehand.
Oh, it's
you could just feel it coming.
It's
best tweet of the night.
Right? Say it, James.
Elliot said Josh Harris should buy up all the freaking tickets and give them to Sixers fans. Like, you're damn right he should. The freaking, $7 billion this guy's worth? Yeah, dude. Like, own your... Oh, my goodness. Own your franchise, okay?
Yeah.
The oh, my goodness. The immediate... Remorse.
Yeah, he was thinking about the consequences.
I also think James's job, one of his jobs in the show is to keep them in line. I think when you're supposed to be the adult in the room and you act like the child,
and you're not adulting.
You're not adulting, right? Yeah. Like you feel worse. I think we've all been there. All right. Speaking of adults who sometimes don't always act like, a little credit when it's owed here. Hugh, there was an interesting story yesterday, a good one, over at ESPN. Tim McManus about Nick Sirianni. And the headline that caught my attention was Sirianni's confounding public behavior is relished by his players. And the theme of it was really about how much of a player's coach he is, Hugh, and how he has their back.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of stuff with Mailata, whose dad was going through some health issues. And he called him up and said, like, come to the office after practice one day. And Mailata was thinking that he did something wrong or, you know, kind of like... When our boss says, Hugh, come talk to me, you always think the worst. And most of the time, you didn't do anything wrong. He just, whatever, he wants to talk. And that was this. And it really resonated with Mailata. There was a couple other stories of players, including Rick Lovato, who him and his wife were trying to have a child. And it really painted the picture, Hugh, that this guy has a connection with his players that we don't get to see.
Yeah.
So they have his back. Like, he has theirs behind the scenes that we don't see. And I think it's why they seem to kind of let Nick be Nick, and they'll support him and his personnel.
It's a new era of coaches, man. As much as I love Big Red and he's my coach and everything, there's a side that we never saw of Big Red. I was watching The Pivot, and they had Aaron Glenn on there,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about how he interacts with his players. He was telling a story about how he has players to his house to eat. His wife's in there cooking for him. That's more college than anything. You know, that's some old Nick Saban, Urban Meyer type stuff. And coaches, guys are responding to that. You know, like, and you talk about the stories with Nick, man, and I know for a lot of us, when he tells Joe College stories or the Joey High School stories and stuff like that. You know, people laugh and giggle about that. But the purpose of a coach's job is to try to figure out how to connect with his players and get the best out of them. Well, Sirianni's done that.
It is changed. I mean, it is changed. I mean, look, if we get Eagles-Lions next week, you know what one of the stories is going to be heading into the game. The change.
Who's the craziest?
Yeah, like the change in coach. Like they're both, you know, off the walls, all energy, foot to the gas, you know, not play callers, motivators. It's just, it's different than maybe it used to be, or the trend that looked like 5 years ago, right? When it was Shanahan against McVay in the title game. And it felt like that's the new way.
Coaches are becoming younger. They're getting younger in the NFL. And people are taking chances, for the most part, on coaches who, you know, haven't had that much, you know, don't have that big resume.
Well, obviously there's always tipping points for this, but one of the first ones that was really young was McVay. I was looking up his resume when this week started. You know what's crazy? He's only 38. He's been coaching for 8 or 9 years now. He has 80 wins and 2 Super Bowl appearances. He's 38.
Yeah.
Like, he has 30 more years of coaching if he wants to. I don't know if he's going to do it for that long.
Yeah, because you remember a few years ago they were talking about whether he was going to be an analyst and do the TV thing and all this other stuff. Yeah. It's just because the message, you have to be able to connect with your players, man. And the thing that I grew up in an era where it started to transition from the Bobby Knights of the world.
Oh, he was different.
To, you know, the more standoff coaches. Because Big Red, is as good as a coach he was, he's a little bit more standoffish. But it's funny because seeing Big Red about a year ago when I saw him, he's different with the players now.
He's evolved.
Yes, than he was when he was coaching us.
Well, I think if you're going to coach a long time, you have to evolve.
You have to. And Bill Belichick, I would read stories about Bill Belichick and how he hired his sons to help them bridge the age gap between the players and the coach. And I think that's important, man. I think it is because at the end of the day, it's a lot easier to go out there and do some of the things that you're asked to do if you feel like somebody understands what you're going through or understands your plight. I don't care what it is. It just makes it easier because it's like when you tell them how you're feeling or what you're going through, you know on some level they understand. And that's what Coach Sirianni has done. That's why he has gone above and beyond in press conferences. I know it's a little thing and people probably don't hear, but listen to how he talks about his player. Listen to how he defended A.J. Brown and the sitting on the bench with the book, how he defended him. Listen to how he defends Jalen and the sacrifice that he might have asked Jalen to give in order for this team to be successful, and how he probably has to talk to Jalen on a daily basis. Say, hey, man, block the noise out. You're doing your job. Keeping the main thing. That's hard to do.
Well, I think actually it's one of the best things Jalen does bring to the table as Eagles quarterback. I really think he ignores all of this. And I think if you're going to be successful here, you need to, because, I mean, that's...
It gets real.
And everything gets picked apart. Like, Jalen Hurts has been part of a team that's lost one game since September, and a lot of people, I don't know, half,
don't
whatever...
Don't like Jalen.
Or at least are concerned
about
his play.
And let me be clear, because I don't want anybody to think every time I say don't like Jalen that people really don't like him. No, but his play is always being critiqued.
Always. And that's critiqued. That's always going to be...
That's the nature of the beast.
Every Eagles quarterback. How you handle it is like half the job.
Because we make fun of Nick Sirianni for the core values stuff all the time. Connectivity is one of them.
They're connected.
He doesn't just talk the talk. He does walk the walk.
I've always thought they like him. I mean, my questions were never that. It was about his coaching. Sure. But like, I've always thought inside that building,
well, what's
those players like him.
What's the thing A.J. Brown said last year? Sirianni made himself look like a fool for us?
The article went into that. I think Mylotta said, you don't have to do that. And he said, no, that's my job. I mean, I think it is. I mean, because